So, does this work? The first one? Which one? Yeah, it works. Believe? The first one is believe? Okay. Is this the first one?开始录了吗？就开始录。早晨好。
We are starting a new book this morning.
今天早晨我们要开始研读一本新的书。
And we'll spend a few weeks on the book of Ecclesiastes.
我们会花几个星期时间在传道书。
What I want to do this morning, we're not going to actually look at the book this morning, but to look at some background, and then next week we will start to work through the book itself.
今天呢，我们不是就进到这本书里，我们今天来看这本书的背景，然后下个星期我们开始来读这本书，来看这本书。
But what I want to do this morning is to look at how this book teaches.
我们今天想看的是这本书是如何教导我们的。
Because it communicates much differently than some books of the Bible, many books of the Bible.
传讲的很多是跟别的书是不一样的。
And because of that, I think many people misunderstand this book.
因为是这样的情况，所以很多人对这本书是有误解的。
Because they try to read it like they would read Exodus or Romans.
有些人读这本书就像读这个出埃及记或者罗马书，所以他们就会有误解。
That is a list of instructions for life.
那些呢，就是给了一些那个生活、生命的一些教导、指导。
And this book is much different.
但这本书是完全的很不同。
It is very much a parallel to the book of Job.
它有点像是跟约伯这样子一个相似平行的一本书。
The problem when we read the book of Job is pain.
当你读到约伯是在讲痛苦的问题、苦难的问题。
How do we see God in times of difficulty?
让我们在困难的时光的时候、困苦的时光的时候，如何来看待神？
How do we make sense of life when everything is falling apart?
当每样事情都已经好像四分五裂的时候，我们怎么样觉得生命还是有意义的？
The book of Ecclesiastes does something different.
但是传道书有些不同。
That is, how do we make sense of life when everything is going well?
就是当每件事情都很顺利、很好的时候，那生命的意义何在呢？
When you have plenty and life still doesn't seem to make sense,
当你就是非常丰富的时候，好像生命还是没有意义。
Then, how do you find God?
那在这种情况下，你如何发现神、找到神呢？
And so we're going to look at this book as a parallel to Job.
所以这本书呢，是跟那个约伯记好像是姊妹篇似的。
But this morning I want to start with a little bit about how this book communicates.
然后我们来看这本书是如何来跟大家来沟通、来教导的。
Hebrew teachers did not teach by simply giving you a lecture and asking you to write everything down.
希伯来的这些教师呢，他不是说给你一个，就是给你一个给你讲课，然后给你问题，你就把答案写下来。
Very often they taught by asking you questions.
通常呢，他们的教导方式是提问的方式。
Giving you little bits of truth.
给你一些真理。
And then asking you to bring it all together to find the truth.
然后让你把这些东西总合起来去发现真理。
One of the challenges of reading Ecclesiastes
读传道书的一个挑战就是
is that we often read it asking him to tell us the answer.
我们很多时候读的时候希望这个作者就直接把答案给我们。
You are, many of you are good students.
我们很多人都是好学生。
You know how to go to school.
我们知道如何去上学。
To write down what the teacher says.
就记下来老师所说的。
And then to take a test.
然后知道怎么去考试。
But Jewish teachers didn't do that.
但是那个犹太人的老师不是这样教导的。
I was reading a book about Jewish rabbis and how they taught.
我就是在读一本这个以色列的夫子是如何教学的。
And one of the rabbis would teach this way. He would give a one-hour lecture.
比如说有一个夫子呢，一个老师呢，他给讲一个小时的课。
And at the end of the lecture, he would give a test.
在这个课后呢，他马上就给考试。
And the test was this.
这个考试是这样的。
In my lecture, I said two things wrong.
在我刚才讲的课中间呢，有两点是错的。
What were they?
这两个错的地方是什么呢？
That was the test.
那个就是他的给的考试。
Not simply to write down what he said.
不是说简简单单的把他说的记下来。
But to evaluate.
而是你要有一个自己本身有个评估。
To give pieces of the puzzle.
所以你好像是像那个拼图，你要把那个各个拼图的片放在一起。
Let me give you an example. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7.
请大家翻到传道书第七章。
Someone read verse 16.
比如说有些人可以读十六节。I will read that. 说不要行义过分，也不要过于自逞自慧，何必自取败亡呢？
Now read verse 17.
然后再读十七节，不要行恶过分，也不要为人愚昧，何必不到期而死呢？
Now I'm not going to talk this morning about what this verse, these two verses mean. We'll come to it later.
我今天早上不会讲这两节经文的意思，我们以后会讲。
But many people read these two and they say, okay, so Ecclesiastes says, don't be too wicked, but don't be too righteous.
所以很多人读了就说，你也不要太公义，你也不要太邪恶。
Sort of go down the middle, be a little bit good and a little bit bad, and life will work.
就是那个善恶就是兼有。
Because they're reading this,
因为他们是怎么呢？他们怎么读的呢？
Like they would read Exodus, thou shalt not do this.
因为他们是以来读出埃及记的方式来读这个，就是说你不能。
Ecclesiastes isn't doing that.
但是传道书不是这样读的。
It's giving us little bits of a puzzle.
他好像就把那个拼图片的有给我们几片，给我们一片。
Saying bring all this together.
然后说你呢，把这个拼起来。
And see how life works.
然后你把它拼起来，你就看这个到底生命是如何运作的。
Part of what it's doing is saying.
他所做的一部分其
中要讲 The way we experience life is not as a set of rules to follow.
我们在生命中这个经历呢，不是说就跟着一系列的这个规则
But as a set of circumstances to figure out.
而是说有不同的环境让我们能够找出来其中的这个方式如何去生活
And so instead of simply giving us answers,
不是说简简单单就把这个答案给我们
he asks us a bunch of questions,
所以他就这个传道书的作者给了我们很多问题
and is willing to take a chance on allowing us to hunt for a while for the answers.
所以呢，他就愿意呢给我们这个机会，也给我们这个空间，让我们自己去寻求答案。
I think the book of Ecclesiastes doesn't give us any answers until we get to the last chapter.
我觉得这个传道书只在之前呢都没有给我们任何答案，直到了这个书的结尾的时候才给我们答案。
The rest of it is giving us little bits and pieces.
这个前面都在给我们一点一点的，像那个拼图的图片似的。
And he's waiting for us to search through life.To find the answers.
然后呢，这个书的作者就在等待我们自己在生命中寻求，最后找到答案。
Part of the reason for that, I think, is that it's what we call a wisdom book.
为什么他会这样子写呢？因为我们知道传道书是属于智慧书的一本。
And wisdom is not simply having the right answers to a group of questions.
那个智慧呢，不是说你对一组问题有一个正确的答案。
Wisdom.Prepares us for situations where we don't have the answers.
智慧呢是预备我们，把我们预备好，让我们面对这个不知道、没有答案的境况的情况下，知道该如何行。
Wisdom is much bigger than simply knowledge.
智慧呢比那个知识这个范围要大很多。
Now, wisdom includes knowledge.
但是我们知道智慧是包含知识的。
Students who said, "Oh, I don't really value knowledge very much. I just want to be wise."
我的有学生就说，我不在意这个知识，我只在意智慧。
If you don't know anything,
如果你什么都不知道
understand much
那你怎么能够有这个智慧去了解呢
？So knowledge is important.
所以呢，知识是很重要的。
But wisdom starts with a body of knowledge.
但是呢，知识是始，智慧是始于就是一些知识。
And then.
然后呢
？Wisdom looks at how do I understand what I know.
然后呢？智慧是说我如何能够真正了解我所这个所有的这些知识呢
？That's what we saw in Job.
这是我们所看到在约伯记里的。
Job and his friends know the same things.
约伯和他的朋友所知他们的知识都是一样的。
They know that God is powerful.
他们都知道神是全能的。
Right.The friends know that, Job knows that.
他的朋友知道这些，约伯也知道这些。
They know that we reap what we sow.
他们知道我们种的是什么，收的就是什么。
They know God is just.
他们知道神是公义的。
They all have the same set of facts.
他们都有一套同样的这个事实和理论。
But Job, the book of Job shows us Job moving through those facts to a better understanding of what those mean.
但是约伯记就像我们展示，约伯呢，就是从这些知识里边，他就慢慢的上升，他也对这些知识有一个更好的理解。
While his friends,
但是他的朋友们呢
，just keep repeating the same facts and they never understand any more at the end of the book than they did at the beginning.
然后他的朋友呢，就不断重复他们所知道的这个知识和这个事实，一直不断的在重复到。书的结尾，他们也没有更进一步，他们还在重复自己原来的。
I think at the end of the book of Job,
在约伯记结尾的时候
，After Job has prayed for the friends,
在他的约伯为他的朋友祷告之后
，God said, "You pray for these people."
约伯神对约伯说：“你为你的朋友祷告。
”And now they leave.
现在他的朋友离开了。
I don't think they understand a bit more at the end than they did at the first day.
我相信他们到他们离开的时候，跟他们刚开始到约伯那儿来的时候，他们的。理解也并没有增加。
Get on their camels and they head home.
他们坐上他们的骑上他们的骆驼回家。
And they say that doesn't make any sense at all.
他们可能会说这个真是一点道理都没有。
How did Job get all that stuff back? He never said he was sorry.
约伯怎么就是搭双倍的得到他所有的呢？他从来没为这件事情没有认过错。
And why was he praying for us?
为什么约伯要为我们祷告呢
？We were the good people.
我们是那个好人。
I think they went home as confused as they were the day they got there.
我想约伯的朋友回到家里就跟他们来之前一样的混淆。
Because they had some knowledge.
因为他们只有知识。
But they didn't have any understanding.
但是他们却没有这个聪明，没有这个理解力。
Wisdom includes understanding.
所以呢，这个智慧包括聪明和这个理解力。
Wisdom includes applying what you know.
智慧就是包含的把你所知道的能应用到实际的生活中。
There are people who can write down a list of facts very well.
有些人可以很好的把这些事实这个都记录下来。
But they can never apply it to their life.
但是他们却没有办法把这些知识应用到他们的生活中。
My daughter is not here, so I can tell you this.
我女儿不在这里，所以我可以讲。
Please do not tell my daughter this.
别回家去报信儿啊。
My daughter is very, very smart.
我女儿非常聪明。
And she can memorize facts and take a test and get 100%.
然后呢，她可以就是把这些这些事实都给记下来，然后考试得100分。
But I hate to ride in the car when my daughter is driving.
但是呢，跟我女儿她开车，我坐她旁边是很。
Now my daughter made 100% on the driver's test.
我女儿考那个驾照考试的时候考了100分。
She could tell you how many feet you're supposed to put on the brakes and stay behind the car.
她就知道说你开车要离前面的车有多远。
She could probably calculate the formula based on.
她甚至可以
She knows the facts.
这个公式怎么来算这个？
But when she's driving,
但是当她开车的时候
，she's just busy looking around.
然后她就左顾右看，然后突然发现
slamming on the brakes.
然后突然发现离前面车很近，就使劲踩刹车。
And I'm saying, Stacy, don't you know you're supposed to stop?
我给她说，你不知道你要早点停车吗？踩刹车吗
？Yes, Dad, you have to have 3 car lengths between you and the car in front of you.
她说我知道，爸爸，跟前面车你。期间的距离应该保持3辆车身的距离。
I'm sitting in their back seat, Stacy. I'm not 3 car lengths back.
我说爸，我说你知道吗？我们跟后边那个车离得好近。
She has knowledge, but she doesn't really apply it very well when she's driving.
她是有这个知识，但是她却不把这个知识应用到她的实际生活中。
Wisdom looks at application.
这个智慧就是要看你的这个应用。
Much of Proverbs fits into that category.
就是箴言其实是属于这一类的。
Here is how you live out what you know.
这个箴言是讲你如何活出来你所知道的。
So it's knowledge.
所以它包含知识。
It's understanding.
包含这个理解。
It's applying what you know.
然后也包含应用，把你所。
But then Ecclesiastes, I think, looks at one more thing.
但是我觉得，传道书第四还看了另外一点，第四点。
And that is.
那就是。
How to handle questions when you don't have an answer.
就是当你没有这个答案的时候，你如何来处理？一个问题
to recognize the limits of human knowledge
就是能够认出来人类的这个知识的有限性
the fact that some questions do not have a good easy answer
就是要知道事实上呢是有些问题是没有一个简单的一个可以理解的答案
and so Ecclesiastes helps us to confront life when it doesn't fit what we know or any of our previous experience.
所以呢，等于说传道书就预备我们，当我们来怎么样来面对生活，就是我们不知道该怎么样行，或者我们以前的经验也没有告诉我们该怎么行的情况下。
Ecclesiastes 7 gives us an example of this.
传道书就给了我们这样一个例子，第七章。
Read verse 7.
比如传道书第七章的第七 chapter 7、
right? I'm chapter 7 verse 1
OK 第七章的第一节说名誉强如美好的膏油人死的日子胜过人生的日子
That doesn't fit with what we know of life
这对我们的生活经验来讲是不相符的
Anybody here prefer the day of death to the day of birth
难道有任何人就是更喜欢人死的日子胜过人生的日子吗
If so, we'll send you to a counselor.
所以如果你是这样想的话我们把你送到一个就是一个去看心理咨询师吧你有麻烦了。
Read the first part of verse 2.
然后再读第二章的第二节头半部分往糟上的家去强如往宴乐的家去。
It doesn't fit with what we think life should be like.
这跟我们所认为的生活应该是怎么样的完全不相符。
And all through This book, it has little bits that we say, that doesn't sound right.
在这个传道书从始至终，我们会里边总是有一点，我们觉得好像看听的不对劲儿。
One of the things I have suggested to students in reading Ecclesiastes is to do this.
对学生当他们读传道书，我对他们的一个建议就是
mentally tear it out of the Bible.
在你的那个。想象一下，你把那个圣经给撕了。
Don't do it for real. I don't want you.
不要真的是把你的圣经撕，只是在你的想象中，在你的想象中。
Forget for a moment that it's Bible.
忘记你在读圣经。
And just read it as if it were a book about life.
就是把它当成一本人生的关于人生这个教导的书来读。
Now we'll come back to the Bible side of it later.
当然，我们回头会回到这个它是属于传道属于圣经的这个事实。
But for this week, I'm going to have you read through Ecclesiastes several times as we study it.
我希望你们能够这个星期把传道书多读几遍。
It's 12 chapters.
一共只有十二章。
So if you'll read 2 chapters a day, you'll get through it in a week.
所以你每天读两章，你这星期就能把传道书给读完。
So this week, read through it. One time.
所以这个星期呢，把传道书读一遍。
And for this week, read it, forgetting that it's Bible.
这个星期你读的时候，不要想它是圣经的一本书。
And simply read it, asking, "Does this sound like life?"
你就这样读下去，就问自己说：“这个是生活是这样的吗？生命是这样的吗？”
Now, don't throw me out as a heretic. I know it's Bible. We're going to come to that.
我不要就一下子。就把我想偏了。我知道这是圣经，我们回头会讲。
But part of what Ecclesiastes is doing is saying，
传道书的一部分，他讲的是
，This is the way life looks。
这是那个生活就是这样的。
There are days in life，
在生活中有些日子
，where you think， you know what， the day of my death is probably going to be happier than the day of my birth。
你可能有的时候真的是觉得我死的时候比现在活着还好。
Job said that。
约伯是这么说的。
That didn't sound religious.
听上去好像不是很
敬虔。But it's exactly where he found himself in chapter 3.
但是约伯在第三章的时候的确这么讲的，这么感受的。
I wish I'd never been born.
他说我希望我真的是都没出生。
And since I was born.
但是我已经生出来了。
I wish I could die.
我希望我能死。
Okay, so we've already seen it once.
我们已经在约伯记看过了。
But the irony in Ecclesiastes is this.
传道书的他的这个反讽之处在于。
He isn't saying that because of his suffering.
他传道书的作者不是这样说，因为他受苦。
He actually has everything.
这个传道书的作者什么东西都有。
And here is what is worse than suffering and feeling like life has no meaning.
这个比那个就是说你受苦然后觉得生命是没有意义更糟糕。
What's worse than that is having everything and feeling like life has no meaning.
就是你想要什么都有什么，你生命活中有生命中有各样的东西，但是你还是觉得生活没有意义，生命没有意义。
Because if you're suffering and you think I wish I could die.
然后因为你受苦的时候，你说我希望我死。
There is hope.
那还是有盼望的。
Someday maybe the suffering will be over and life will start to make sense.
有一天呢，这个苦难会结束，这个生命生活重新有意义。
But what is far, far worse
但是更糟糕的是
is if you look at life and you say, I have everything I've ever wanted.
你说我想要的我都有了。
And I wish I could die.
但是我却不想活了。
It has no meaning.
因为生命没有任何意义。
You understand?
你了解吗?
Because there's no hope for you.
因为对你来讲
It's not going to get any better because you have everything.
你也不会变得更好因为你想要的都有了。
That's what Ecclesiastes faces.
所以这是传道书的作者所面对的。
What if I've got wealth?
就是我有所有的财富又怎么样?
What if I've got wisdom? What if I've got pleasure?
如果我有所有的智慧，如果我有所有的享乐。
And I still say.
然后我仍然说。
The life, the day of death is better than the day of birth.
你有这个，你还是说人死的日子胜过人生的日子。
Then life is going to be difficult.
这种情况下，你的生活是很艰难的。
And so it presents us with some of the tensions of life.
所以它就是传道书向我们展示了这个生活的这种生命的这种张力。
And says,
然后说
，What are you going to do when life looks like this?
如果你的生命生活是这样子的，你该怎么办呢？
Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I know I've said that before, but it's.
传道书是我最喜欢的圣经中的一本书。我知道我以前对别的书也这么说过。
But I love this book.
但是我爱这本书的原因是
because it is so real to life.
因为它是很真实的对我们的生命。
The fact that it looks very much like life often looks.
因为它就是很真实的把这个生命的这个现象呈现在我们面前。
Where it doesn't.Make sense.
因为这个生活生命好像是没道理。
The wicked don't suffer, and the righteous don't experience blessing.
因为这个恶人呢却不受苦，这个义人呢却在受苦。
That's Ecclesiastes.
这个是传道书。
Part of what happens in Ecclesiastes is this.
传道书中所发生的一些事。
It looks at where life doesn't fit the rules.
因为好像这个生活呢，没有跟着这个规则，没有这个规则不适用于这个我们所知道的规则。
The book of Proverbs focuses on the rules of life.
这个传道不是箴言呢，是专注于这个生活生命中的这些规则。
You do this.
你做这样行。
And this will be the result.
然后结果就会是这样。
That's nice. We like that.
我们都很喜欢这样。
I like to know that if I do this, follow this rule, this will be the result.
然后我就很喜欢说，哦，如果我这样做，我遵行这个，那最后结果就是这样的。
But Ecclesiastes and Job look at the times where life doesn't fit the rules.
但是约伯记跟传道书是讲看到这些例外，生活中不符合这个。
Now I didn't have this translated.
然后我让这个
work in Chinese.
因为我没有让大家把这个翻出来，因为这个在中文里边是讲不通，没法讲。
But when you go to school,
但是当你去上学的时候
，to learn spelling in English,
你就开始读那个学拼字的时候
，you learn a rule.
你就学到一个规则，拼字的规。
I before e.
就是当你这个 I 这个字母
That's a very useful rule for spelling.
在那个在 E 之前，这是在那个
Your child learns that rule,
拼字是很容易的。
And they spell the word believe.
所以孩子们呢，学生们就学到这个规则，然后就说他们就会拼这个 believe, 这个相信这个词。
And they get a good grade.
然后他们就考试。
How do you spell the word believe?
你怎么样来拼这个 believe 呢？
B-E-L-
I-E-V-E. B-L-I-E-V-E.
Very good. Now, how do you spell the word receive?
但是如何来拼这个 receive 这个词呢？ Receive 就是接受这个词是怎么拼的呢？
Doesn't fit the rule, right?
但是这个 receive 这里边这个就不符合这个规则了。
And so then we learn a new rule.
然后我们现在学到第二个规则，一个新的规则。
I before E, except after C.
第二个规则就是说，本来第一个规则是说，在这个 E 字母之前是 I， 但是呢，如果它前面还有个 C， 那就就是 E 就在 I 前面，就这个顺序就要颠倒了。
We were in Proverbs, I before E. That's the rule. That's how you do.
我们常见的这个规则就像箴言，就是 I 总是在 E 前边。
But now we're moving into Ecclesiastes.
现在我们到了这个传道书了。
So there are some exceptions.
所以这里边就有这个例外。
I before E.
就是说正常的情况下是 I 在 E 前边。
Except.
但是呢。
After C.
例外就是说，如果在这个两个字前面有 C 的话，你就要把这个
C。So now, how do you spell receive, brother? You were our champion speller here.
你是这个拼字关键。
R E C。
他就说拼这个这两个里边这个 E 和 I 就换了位置，它就是 E I V E。
I before E except after C。
所以呢，现在的规则就是说 I 就是说在 I 在 E 前面，除了这个例外是 C 前面有 C。
So someone spell the word neighbor for me, please.
下边再有人说这个拼这个邻居这个词。
Now we have another exception.
现在又有另外一个例外，又有一个例外了。
So now.
现在在前边呢。
I before E.
那个规则本来是 I 在 E 前边。
Except after C.
但是在 C 后边呢是 E 在 I 前边。
And sometimes Y.
但是有的时候呢。
And in words that sound like A, such as neighbor and way.
所以就是说，比如说有这个 Y 这个词，这个字，这个字母发音像 A.
You got it.
你就看到就是 A 了，就像 neighbor 或者 way.
Now we have the rule and we have the exceptions.
现在你有一个规则，有两个例外了。
We're fixed for life.
现在我们好了，我们所有的规则都学会了，我们的生命就是没问题了。
Right?
是不是呢？
How do you spell the word neither?
那你怎么拼这个？Neither 这个词呢就重复。
Exactly, it doesn't fit any of these rules.
它这个这三条规则对这个 neither 这个词的拼法都不实用。
You see?
你看到了
吗？ We're now in Ecclesiastes territory.
现在我们就已经来到了这个传道书的这个领域了。
A child who learns the rule.
一个孩子他学会了这些拼字规则。
Without learning the exceptions.
如果他不知道这些例外的话。
Is never going to be a great speller.
他肯定是拼字上是不是很好的。
And Ecclesiastes and Job says,
传道书跟约伯记讲到
A person who learns the rules,
一个人他如果只是学了这些规则
without learning the exceptions,
但是他没有学习到这些例外的情况
is going to really struggle with life.
他就会在生活中生命中有很多的挣扎。
Job's friends knew the rule, I before E.
约伯的朋友都知道这些规则，就是 I 总是在 E 前边。
They had no category for except after C.
但是他们除了第二个规则，就是在 C 前面那个 E 要拼的 I 之后，他们完全没有概念，不知道别的例外。
And so Ecclesiastes looks at what do we do when life doesn't fit the straightforward categories that we have.
传道书呢，就让我们看到，如果这个生活中的景况，生命中。有些东西不是像我们所看到的这个从这儿到从 A 到 B 这样一个直接的一个道路一个途径。
I think Ecclesiastes is incredibly practical.
我觉得传道书是非常实际的一本书。
Because we all tend to make these sets of rules.
因为我们都喜欢在我们的生活中给有一套规则。
And many of them are usually right.
通常的这些规则都是对的。
We say.If I obey God and do what He says, He's going to bless me.
我们会说，如果我听神的话，我遵行他的道，那神就会祝福我。
And that's not entirely wrong.
那个不是说完全的错。
Because He says, you reap what you sow.
因为神说，你收获，你种的是什么，收的就是什么。
We say, if I raise my children and train them right, they're going to go in the right direction.
然后你就说，如果我好好的教导我的孩子，他们会走这个正确的路。
And that's not entirely wrong.
那也不是错。
Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it.
就是说，教导一个孩子，使他走当行的路，到他年老的时候也不偏离。
We have all of these very clear categories.
我们有这个很清楚的这样一个区域界限。
And then life happens.
但是呢，到了真正的生活中呢。
And we follow exactly what we're supposed to do.
我们就遵行我们所应该我们应该做的。
And we don't reap what we sow, we reap what we never expected to find.
但是我们却没有收到我们所种的，却收获了一些我们从来没想到也没种的。
A friend called me yesterday who has had just problem after problem after problem come into his life.
我有一个朋友昨天给我打电话，他的生命中就是生活中问题不断。
And he said,
然后他就说
this week,
说这个星期
I finally think I see some light at the end of the tunnel.
他说我好像终于看到点亮光了。
But he said,
但是他说
so many things have gone wrong that I'm afraid it's a train. A train coming into the tunnel.
Oh, okay. 他说我这个生活中这么多事情这么糟糕的一个接一个，我感觉好像是像一个那个火车开到这个隧道里边，要从隧道里开出来。
Ecclesiastes helps us to look.
然后传道书是帮助我们能看到
those situations.
在这种情况下。
Now, I want to look a little bit at some background to the book.
我们来看一下传道书的一些背景。
One of the big issues in the book,
在这个传道书所讲的一个很重要的、很大的一个问题就是一个题目就是
is the term that he uses vanity.
他在里边用了很多这个虚空这个词。
I'm going to look more at that word next week.
下个星期我们会看更多。
But it has this idea.
这个虚空它有这样一个意思。
Of emptiness.
就是说没有意义。
Of something that makes no sense.
就是好像也没有想不出来有什么目的。
Of meaninglessness.
他就主要讲那个无意义感。
And that's much of where Ecclesiastes works.
这就是在这个传道书他的这样要讲的，他是怎么样来运行的这个书。
A few years ago, I read a survey.
几年以前我读过一个调查。
That asked college university students their favorite book of the Bible.
问那个传道问他们那个大学生里边，他们最喜欢圣经里边的最喜欢的一本圣经里的书。
And Ecclesiastes was one of the top.
传道书是属于那个他们最喜欢的书。
Because it expresses the kind of hopelessness that they often feel.
因为它表达了这些大学生他们经常感到了这个空虚感。
The same survey asked pastors for their favorite books.
然后呢，这样同样一个调查也问这个牧师说他们最喜欢的书是什么。
And for pastors, Ecclesiastes was at the bottom.
但是对于牧师来讲呢，传道书是他们最不喜欢的这个书。
Because we like black and white answers.
因为我们都喜欢这个黑白分明的答案。
And Ecclesiastes is gray.
但是那个传道书却是一个灰色的书。
It works in between those.
因为它在那个黑白之间是有点灰色地带。
Job struggles with suffering.
约伯所挣扎的是苦难的问题。
The writer of Ecclesiastes struggles with pleasure.
但是这个传道书的作者所挣扎的是享乐的问题，乐趣的问题。
C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful book, The Problem of Pain.
路易斯写过一本书叫《痛苦的问题》。
In which he deals with how do we make sense of pain in life.
就是说我们如何把生命中的这些痛苦让它有意义，有问。
He wrote a letter to a friend a few years later.
几年之后呢，他又给朋友写了一封信。
And he said, I'm thinking about writing a book, The Problem of Pleasure.
他说我想写一本书是叫《享乐的问题》。
Unfortunately, he never got it written.
但是他却从来没写出来。
But he was asking,
然后他在问的,
what do we do when pleasure doesn't make sense?
就是当你这个享乐也对你也没有意义的话，也不能好像行不通的话，你该怎么做？
Ravi Zacharias said,
就是那个我们知道那个撒加利亚这个拉维，这是一个很出名的一个传道者。
Meaninglessness does not come from being weary of pain.
他说无意义感不是来自于对痛苦的厌倦。
Meaninglessness comes from being weary of pleasure.
无意义感来自于对享乐的厌倦。
In pain, I can always hope that it's going to get better.
在痛苦中，我总是可以想象说会变得有一天会好的。
But when I have everything,
但是当你什么东西都有的时候，
and it still makes no sense,
然后你还是觉得无意义的话。
Now life is meaningless.
现在你的生活可真是没意义，真是空虚。
A writer wrote in the Village Voice.
writer wrote to you? Or?
No, in a magazine, The Village Voice.
Okay, 有一个作者在一本杂志上写了一篇文章、就是、
about actors on Broadway who had achieved success.
就讲到里边，就是说这个百老汇的演员，他们已经很成功了。
And she said this.
那个作者是这么写的。
They are the most unhappy people I've ever met.
但是他们这些很成功的百老汇的演员，却是我遇到的最不高兴、最没有幸福感的人群。
And here's why.
为什么呢？
They had long said, if I could make it in my career, I would be happy.
然后他们常常就是会说，如果我要是在这个事业上我成功了，我达到我所期待的，那我就会高兴了，我就会幸福。
They've made it.
他们确实达到了他们所期待的成功。
And they are still unhappy.
但是他们还是不快乐。
They have what they want.
他们已经得到了他们所向往的。
And nothing has changed.
但是却没有任何改变，心里没有感受，没有任何改变。
And the disillusionment.
那不过就是一种幻觉。
Makes them insufferable.
让他们觉得这个没有办法忍受。
And then she said this.
然后这个作者继续说,
I think when God wants to play a really rotten joke on you,
我觉得说如果神要是想给你开一个很残忍的玩笑,
He gives you your deepest wish.
他把你心里最深处的那个渴慕给你。
Isn't that a tragic statement?
那是不是一个很悲剧性的一个描述呢?
But she is saying exactly what Ecclesiastes says.
他其实这个作者讲的就是传道书所要说的。
We have a career goal.
我们对我们的事业，我们有一个目标。
If I could achieve this.
如果我可以达成这个目标，我可以完成这个。
And we achieve it.
那我们就，之后呢，我们确实达到了我们所向往的。
And it's nothing.
但是什么都没有，却什么感受都没有。
We say, this is it.
然后就说，就是这样吗？
My wife and I were traveling.
我跟我太太去旅行。
And she wanted to see the Palace of Versailles.
她想看凡尔赛宫。
I had never been there.
我从来也没去过凡尔赛宫。
I had a day off and I said, okay, we'll take a
train
and we'll go there.
然后那天我就正好有一天我有空，我说好吧，我们就去。
She had taught about the Palace of Versailles in history class for junior high.
他在初中的时候教过，在教历史的时候讲过这个凡尔赛宫。
The treaty ending World War I there.
然后在那个就是一战的那个停战的协议是在那儿签的。
The Hall of Mirrors.
然后这个充满镜子的这个大厅。
And so we get up early in the morning, we get a train, we go down.
然后我们早晨就早点起来，然后坐车到那边去。
We stand in line.
然后我们就排队。
And we finally get in.
然后我们最后终于进到了。
Anybody been there?
有人去过凡尔赛宫吗？
We walk in.
然后我们就走进去。
She looked around and she said.
然后我们就左右看，左顾右看。
Is this all?
她说，就是这样吗？
I said, what?
我说，你说什么？
She said, I thought it would be bigger.
我觉得应该比这个更大吧。
I thought it would be more beautiful.
我觉得应该比这个更美，更壮观。
This is it?
难道就是这样吗？
But all of us,
但是我们所有的人
have had moments in life,
在我们的生命中都有这种时刻。
And here's the problem, not moments of pain,
不是说你有这个痛苦的时刻，
but moments of success,
而是在你成功的时刻。
And we look around and say,
然后我们就看一看周围说，
Is this it?
就是这样吗？
I put all my hopes in this.
我把我所有的期待盼望都放在这个上面。
That's Ecclesiastes.
那就是传道书。
Where life gives you what you ask for.
然后这个生活生命就给了你所有所想要的。
And it's a disappointment.
但是最后你却是失望。
Dallas Willard said.
就是魏立德说。
Almost anything can be endured. If life as a whole is meaningful,
如果这个生命生活整个来讲是有意义的，那你可以忍受任何的事情。
But in the absence of meaning,
但是在缺乏意义的情况之下，
death is all that's left.
所能留下的就是死亡。
When we have what we want,
当你得到你所向往的，
and it means nothing.
但是那个对你来讲也没有任何意义。
Then life is truly empty.
那个时候生活生命就真的是很空虚。
In music, there's a composer, Steve Reich, a postmodern composer.
有一个后现代主义的一个音乐界有一个作曲家。
And he described some of his music this way.
他对他的音乐的一些描述是这样的。
He said, "My music is describing."
他说我的音乐在描述。
Running as fast as you can.
你就是尽你的全能，尽你能跑的，尽量尽快的跑，跑得很快。
Running from nowhere.
从一个没有来源的一个地方开始跑。
To nowhere.
就跑到一个你也不知道会到哪儿去的一个地方。
Feverish activity without direction.
就是你很忙碌，非常的忙碌，但是却没有任何的方向。
But you dare not stop.
但是你却不敢停下来
or you will die.
因为你停下来你就会死
I read that and I thought
然后我就读这个他的这个描述
What a terrible picture.
我说那是一个多么可怕的图片
I'm going from nowhere to nowhere.
我就从一个不知道从哪儿来也不知道往哪儿去
But I can't stop.
但是我却不能停下来
or I'll die.
不然就会死
Someone interviewed the author Jack Higgins.
有一个去他们去采访一个作者叫 Jack Higgins.
And the interviewer said, "What do you know now that you wish you had known when you were young?"
然后这个记者就问这个人，就说：“那你现在希望你知道什么东西是你希望你年轻更年轻的时候知道的呢
？”And this was his answer.
然后他是这样回答的
：“I wish someone had told me.
我希望有人告诉我，在我年轻的时候
，that when you get to the top.
当你到了这个顶端的时候。”
There's nothing there.
在那上面什么都没有。
You succeed.
你成功了，但是你却发现什么都没有。
I've only ever read one science fiction book that I really enjoyed.
我只读过了一个那个科幻小说，就是我真的很喜欢的是。
Douglas Adams.
叫这个道格拉斯·埃亚当。
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
就是讲到那个谁知道的银河系的一个黑。一个什么人物
And if you've read that book, it's very tragic.
那个书是一个很悲剧性的小说
Because in volume one of the three volumes,
在他那个三卷里边，第一卷呢
they find out that Earth and man and all that we think is real is just a computer simulation.
他们所发现了说我们所认为这个地球这个人所有的东西不过是那个计算机模拟出来的一个
giant computer
是有一个巨大无比的一个电脑
that is looking for the ultimate answer in life.
这个巨大的这个电脑在寻求生命的这个在寻求一个真正的意义
Anybody read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
有没有人读过这个科幻小说？但从未。
And what was the ultimate answer for life?
他觉得里边那个。
42.
他说这个生命的最终意义是什么呢
？After millions of years.
在过了几百万年。
The computer comes to the ultimate answer in life.
最后，这个计算机呢，这个电脑终于找到了这个生命的最终意义，就是。
42。
42
In other words, he is saying,
就是另外一个，他说这个电脑就说
All of life,
所有的生命
really comes down to this meaningless answer.
就是到了所有的，就是这个完全没有意义的答案。
But if you kept reading and you came to volume 3,
但是如果你一直读到第三卷的话
it's even worse.
更糟糕。
Because in volume 3, we find out the ultimate question.
在这个第三卷，你读到这个终极的问题。
The answer was 42.
这个答案还是42。
Either of you remember what the question was?
你们还记得这个他最这个终极问题是什么吗
？What is 8 times 5?
他终极问题就是8×5是多少
？I remember reading that.
我就记得我当时读这本书，我当时的感受。
And at first laughing.
刚开始就开始笑。
And then wanting to cry.
然后接着就想哭。
Because here's what Douglas Adams was saying in a picture of despair.
因为这个作者在那儿写的就是一种绝望的一个图片描绘。
Life, all of life.
所有的生命，所有的
生活。Comes up to a silly answer.
最后呢，这个答案却是这么的可笑愚蠢。
That isn't even right.
然后这个答案呢还不对。
What is 8 times 5?
他的这个问题是说，8×5是多少？然后
42.
答案是42。
You understand?
你了解了吗？
He is saying,
他在说,
life makes no sense.
就是生命完全没有任何道理,
没有意义。It's a silly question.
那是一个很愚蠢可笑的问题。
That leads us to the wrong answer.
然后呢,这个愚蠢可笑的问题带我们也到一个错误的答案。
That is vanity.
那就是虚空。
Winston Churchill's last words.
丘吉尔的最后一句话就是
After an incredible life.
当他过一个这样子难以置信的一个生活的时候，他的
Doing everything you can imagine.
他完成了你所能够想象到、想象不到的所有的事情。
His last words.
然后他最后的一句话就是
I'm bored with it all.
I'm bored to what?
I'm bored with it all.
他说我对这些东西都觉得很无聊。
It's all come to nothing.
他说最后都是完全没有意义。
The lawyer Clarence Darrow.
这个一个美国很出名的律师叫克拉伦斯达罗。
The purpose of man is like the purpose of the polywog.
他说人的意义就像蝌蚪。
To wiggle along as far as he can without dying.
就是只要不死就尽其所能的扭动挣扎。
To hang to life.
或者坚守生命。
Until death takes him.
直至死亡来把他带走。
Kurt Cobain, the
Next one.
Rock star who committed suicide.
就是另外一个就是自杀的一个很出名的一个摇滚明星。
The year after he committed suicide, 60 of his fans committed suicide copycats.
然后呢，他的自杀之后呢，他的60个歌迷呢也自杀了，就学他。
But in one of his songs, he wrote this.
在他写的一首歌里面是这么写的。
One writer says he was seeking salvation through death.
他是在有一个人说他是通过死亡来寻求拯救。
Here's one of his last songs.
他最后一首歌是这么说的。
Silence.
他说沉默。
Here I am.
我来了。
Silent.
我被
It's what I am.
我被消失声音，那就是我曾经是，我是。
I have died.
我已经死了。
Death with violence.
是一种暴力的死。
Right here.
就在这里。
Died.
已经死了。
Went to hell.
去地狱吧。
Here I am.
我来了。
Right here.
就在这里。
Death is where, what I am.
死亡，我就在这里。
Go to hell.
去地狱。
Go to jail.
去或者去监狱。
Die.
死吧。
Do you hear the hopelessness of that?
你听到他这个歌词里边的这种绝望吗？
That life comes
这种无望
to nothing.
就是生命最后没有任何意义。
And so if Darrow is right,
如果达罗是正是对的。
If the purpose of man is just to wiggle along as long as we can,
就是如果人的生命的意义就在于尽其所能的挣扎扭动。
Then if wiggling becomes too difficult,
如果你这个挣扎变得太痛苦的话，太难的话，
why not simply follow Kurt Cobain's solution?
为什么就不跟随这个自杀的摇滚明星的道路呢？
Quit wiggling.
就是不要再挣扎了。
Another song that expresses Ecclesiastes.
另外一首来表达出来这个传道书意义的这个歌曲是这样的。
Peggy Lee.
是有一个叫 Peggy Lee 的。
A song is that all there is?
说难道这就是所有的一切吗？
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire.
我就记得我小时候是个小女孩的时候，我们家房子着火了。
I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced.Out of the building.
我就永远不会忘记我爸爸当时脸上的表情，他就把我抱起来就冲出房子。
I stood there shivering and watched the world go up in flames.
然后我就站在那儿浑身发抖，看到我的世界就变成在火焰中消失。
And when it was over,
当这一切结束的时候，
I said to myself,
我就对我自己说，
Is that all there is to a fire?
难道这个活所能做的一切就是这样吗？
I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world.
我爱上了这个世界上最棒的男孩子。
We would take long walks and sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes.
然后我们就会出去走很长的路，然后彼此对望好几个小时。
We were so much in love.
我们这么相爱。
Then one day he went away and I thought I'd die.
然后有一天他离开了我，我觉得我要死了。
But I didn't.
但是我却没死。
And when I didn't,
当我没死的时候，
I said to myself,
我对我自己说，
Is that all there is to love?
难道这个爱所能带来的就是这些吗？这就是爱的一切吗？
The last stanza. I know what you must be saying to yourselves.
我知道你肯定要对自己是这样说的。
If that's the way she feels, why doesn't she just end it all?
如果你是这样感受了，你为什么不把这一切都结束呢？
Oh no, not me.
哦，我不会这样做。
I'm in no hurry for the final disappointment.
我还不着急，不急着去看那个最后的这个失望，最终的失望。
For I know well.
因为我知道。
When that final moment comes.
当那个最后的时刻来临的时候。
And I'm breathing my last.
我最后呼吸我的最后一口气。
I'll be saying to myself.
我会对自己说。
Is that all there is?
难道这就是所有的一切吗？
Is that all there is?
这就是所有的一切吗？
Ecclesiastes confronts a world.
传道书所面临的一个世界就是。
Of despair.
就是一个传道书所面临的是一个绝望的世界。
One reason I think Christians should study Ecclesiastes is this.
我觉得作为基督徒，我们要研读传道书的一个原因就是。
The songs that I've read to you.
我刚才给大家读的这些歌词。
The music I described.
我刚才所描述的那个后现代主义的那个音乐。
Is where much of our world lives.
那就是我们现在这个世界上的人所生活的这样一个状况。
In a world that makes no sense.
对他们来讲，这个世界完全没有什么意义，没有道理。
That is empty.
那是对他们来讲是空虚的。
Give you one more example.
再给大家一个例子。
This one from science.
这个是从科学研究领域来的。
Steven Weinberg.
就叫一个从科学界来的，叫 Steven Weinberg.
The first 3 minutes.
他讲到说，最刚开始的三分钟
A view of the origins of the universe.
他讲到这个宇宙的起源的最起初三分钟
He describes what he thinks the first 3 minutes.
他在描述他所认为的这个宇宙起初的三分钟
And then he finishes.
然后他这样结束的时候 With
what he thinks will happen at the end of the universe.
他就在描述他认为宇宙的终局的时候会发生什么
A choice of a universe that had no purpose in its beginning.
他说这个宇宙在刚开始的时候它没有任何的意义它的选择就是
And which will die with either intense cold or intense heat.
它就是这个宇宙结束或者是就是完全的变冷或者是完全的就是非常的热这样以这种方式来结束宇宙
And he ends his book this way.
然后他的书的结局是结尾是这么说的
There's not much comfort in all of this.
在这个所有的这个过程中间，没有什么安慰。
We humans want to believe that we have a purpose.
我们作为人类，我们想要相信我们是有意义的。
But the truth is.
但是这个真实就是。
We are simply the outcome of a chain of accidents.
我们不过就是各种偶然机遇所带来的产物。
As I write this, I'm in an airplane at 30,000 feet.
我在写这句话的时候，我是在一个飞机上，有在离地30,000英尺。
Below, the earth looks soft and comfortable, fluffy clouds.
我在下边看到这个地，土地很肥沃，看到这个白云在飘。
It's hard to realize that all of this.
很难就一想象到说所有这一切。
Part of an overwhelmingly hostile universe.
却是在这个一个非常的一个艰难一个充满敌意的一个宇宙当中
and to realize
然后真正的意识到
that the more we understand of this universe
我们越了解宇宙
the more pointless it is
就越觉得没有意义
art
没有方向不管是说从艺术
science
科学
philosophy
哲学
music
音乐
all saying
他们都在讲
life doesn't make sense.
这个生命是好像没有道理的，没有意义的。
Ellen DeGeneres.
这个 which one? I see. 就是叫艾伦·德杰尼勒斯，这也是一个。
The only thing that scares me more than space aliens is the idea that there aren't any space aliens.
就是一个，这是一个倡导者，也是一个新闻记者这样的，叫做艾伦说，他说唯一能比外星人更吓到我的是。
We can't be the best creation.
完全没有外星人的想法，我们不能是这个创造宇宙所能给出的最好。
If so,
如果是那样，
we're in big trouble.
我们就有大麻烦了。
Now, all of this is a worldview that is very familiar around us.
所以这些世界观都是在我们周围的这些人所非常熟悉的世界观。
A world of hopelessness.
就是一个没有盼望、没有期望、没有希望的一个世界。
I sat on the plane talking to someone who is a teacher.
我在飞机上回来旅行的时候，旁边坐的一个人是老师，我们在聊天。
Teaches literature at a very successful prep school.
在一个非常好的一个学校里边是教这个文学的。
And as we talked,
但是当我们谈的时候
，And I would, why do you do what you do?
我就问他，你为什么要选择这个，要做这个呢？选择做这个
？I don't know.
他说我不知道。
Do you enjoy it?
我说你享受吗
？It's a job.
那是我的工作。
Does it give you any meaning?
有给你带来意义吗
？No.
没有。
He was on his way to India.
他在去印度的旅程中。
I said, Why are you going to India?
你为什么要去印度呢
？I'm hoping I can find some meaning there.
我希望我能在印度找到一些意义。
Going to look for a guru who's going to help him find meaning.
他去找一个好像是他们的一个宗教领袖，要去找到他的意义。
And I realized much of our world lives that way.
我们世界上很多的这个整个绝大部分的世界都是生活在这样的一个想法中。
The response of Scripture to all of this.
这个圣经对这个这一切的这个回应就是
is in Psalm 8.
是在诗篇第八篇。
What is man that you are mindful of him?
人算什么？你竟顾念他。
The son of man that you care for him.
你世人算什么？你竟眷顾他。
You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings.
你叫他比天使微小一点。
And I put the Hebrew word there, Elohim.
他那个里边那个天使或者称为神。
Because how is Elohim usually translated in Scripture?
在圣经里边，这个神一般是这个 Elohim 被叫什么
？God，
就是神。
It could be translated. You have made him a little lower than God.
你叫他比神微小一点，也可以这样翻译。
When the translators came to that, they thought, "No, that can't be right."
当这个翻译的人翻译的时候说，这个好像不太对。
Let's say heavenly beings.
然后我们就说，你叫他比那个天，就是灵界的这个被造物。
But Psalms is saying.
但是这个诗篇在说。
God has made us.
神创造我们。
Only a little lower than Himself.
就比神自己低一点。
He has crowned us with glory and honor.
并赐我们荣耀尊贵为冠冕。
We are not the outcome of a change chain of accidents.
我们不过是一些偶然机会的所带来的产物。
Our life is not meaningless.
我们的生命不是没有意义的，不是空虚的。
G.K. Chesterton wrote a set of short mysteries.
有一个叫做which one 就是那个叫切瑟斯特的一个英国小说家，他写了一写了很多这个侦探小说。
And in one of them, his hero Father Brown says.
然后他的那个布朗神父呢
，All men matter.
他说所有的人都重要。
You matter.
你重要。
I matter.
我重要。
It's the hardest thing in theology to believe.
这是神学上最难相信的事情。
Ecclesiastes shows.
这个传道书向我们显示。
That we matter.
我们是重要的，我们是有意义价值的。
But the way it shows it,
但是它所这个显示，它显示我们是重要的这种方式
，is by kind of working backwards.
它好像是这样倒着来跟这个题目来讲。
By tearing out from under us all the other props that we rely on for meaning.
就是把这些我们认为能够别的我们就是在我们认为能够找到意义的别的东西他给我们看
We think if I had money
我们会觉得说如果我有我能够我有钱那我就很重要
And so he tears out that prop
所以他就把那个钱那个我们所滋生的东西给挪走了
If I had success in my career I would matter
如果我在事业中很成功那我就很重要
He tears out that.
然后他也把那个传道书说的，把这个我们的支撑点也给拿走了，支撑物。
All of the things that we look to for meaning.
我们所有的要去找到意义的这些事物。
He yanks away.
他都把这些东西都给拿挪走了。
Until we are left in the middle of Ecclesiastes, looking around, saying.
直到我们在传道书的这个中间，我们左右看看，我们说。
Maybe Clarence Darrow is right.
也许这个达罗是对的。
Maybe Peggy Lee is right.
也许那个 Peggy Lee 刚才那写那个歌是对的。
Maybe Steven Weinberg is right.
也许那个艾伦也是对的。
And then,
然后
when he's torn away all the props,
当他把所有我们认为这些支撑物，我们的期在别的方面的期待都给挪走的时候。
He starts to put it back together.
然后他又把这些东西又把放回去。
To come to a conclusion that parallels Psalm 8.
然后他有一个结论是跟这个诗篇相似的。
And that is.
那就是。
God has made us with meaning.
神创造我们是有意义的。
He has made us with purpose.
他创造我们也是有目的的。
And we matter.
我们是重要的，是有价值的。
So that's where we're going to be going over the next few weeks.
所以下边几个星期我们就会来看传道书。
What I would like to ask you to do this week as homework.
所以这个星期的家庭作业就是。
Is to do two things.
两件。
Read the book straight through.
第一个是把传道书从头到尾读一遍。
Read it not as Bible.
不要想象它，不要把它想成圣经来读。
Just read it as if it were written by some philosopher.
想象它是一个哲学家写的。
Who is helping you to ask.What is life about?
是帮助你来问这个说生命到底是怎么样的这样一个问题。
That's assignment number one.
那是第一个家庭作业。
Assignment number two.
第二个家庭作业。
Is like a literature class in high school.
就像高中的文学课。
Next week when we meet, tell me.
第二星期再。
What is the theme of Ecclesiastes?
传道书的主题是什么？
What is the book about?
What a book, what,
what is the book about?
这个书在讲什么?
Like you had to do in high school literature class.
就像你上那个语文课、文学课似的。
I hope you will enjoy it more than you may have enjoyed high school literature.
我希望你能够享受这个课比你享受高中的课更喜欢。
Let's pray.
让我们一起祷告。
Dear God, I thank you that we do matter.
主啊，我们感谢你，因为我们的确是重要的。
You made us for a purpose.
你创造我们是有目的的。
And as we study this book,
当我们研读这本书的时候
，Would you do two things?
求你真的是做两件事。
Would you help us to understand the hopelessness of many of the people in our world?
求你帮助我们能够了解这个世界上很多人所感受到的这种无意没有盼望的感觉。
That we'll be able to feel their pain and understand their hurts.
去了解他们的痛苦，他们的这种无望感。
And then would you help us to see?
也求你帮助我们能看到
your purpose for life.
看到你对我们生命的意义。
And the hope that you give.
然后你所给我们的盼望。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名。